April 8th, 2026, and you're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today in the program, we're in the book of Revelation. We're in chapter 21, looking at verses 1 through 8 with a message titled, All Things New.
Now, I think you have to understand that this is everything we've been trying to overcome in this life. This is everything we've been trying to do ourselves in this life, and that has caused some of the greatest stress and anxiety. Overcome misery. Overcome the hardship. Everything that sin has brought on us, and we live to fill our lives to make ourselves happy, and we really just don't achieve it, do we?
And now here's today's message from Pastor Chris.
Well, we've been working through the book of Revelation at night, and this morning I thought we'll pause from our series in Acts and consider Revelation chapter 21 together. Revelation chapter 21, the first 8 verses. Last book of the Bible, and we've entered now these last 2 chapters. Revelation 21, beginning at verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. Also he said, Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. To the one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. There ends the reading this morning of God's Word. Well, Revelation has certainly helped us have a clear perspective through the struggle of life and the conflict that we are in the world. I think that's been something that has been, at least for me and I hope for you, immensely helpful to understand exactly what we are up against and the perspective through the heavenly reign of Christ of this victory that we have won through his life and death and resurrection. But here is, as we get close to concluding this study and moving on from this study, here's what I fear is going to happen. We are about to move on from the book of Revelation, and some new hardship, some new evil, something you haven't faced is going to hit you, and society will probably take a turn in some direction that is even more discouraging than the things that we have already seen and already faced. And it will become like a giant cloud over everything that we have learned and been considering in the book of Revelation. This is what happens. Warfare has the effect of wearing us down. I've always thought this is why it's interesting to see how the Lord sometimes uses younger ministers who are just have more energy. I always feel myself wearing down. But young ministers like Jeremiah, who was a youth, and what he accomplished in Israel, if you look at some of the older ministers as they're nearing retirement, the warfare, and I've had ministers tell me this, that the constant battle, the constant conflict, it has the effect of wearing you down, and you're tired of the fight. You're tired of the battle. You feel like giving up. This doesn't just happen to pastors. It happens to you in the course of your life. This is one of the things that happens. It has the effect of drowning out the comfort and the hope that we have learned throughout the course of life And that can be some of the struggles towards the end of life. John Flavel used to say that the minister has one of the most unique and difficult tasks in the ministry, because in every other vocation, at least if you're working with your hands, you stop on Friday and you get to pick up where you left off on Monday. But not so with the ministry. He said it's often the case that after the pastor does his job on a Sunday, everything has been unraveled throughout the week by the devil, and he's got to start all over again. And that's a real struggle, isn't it? That was John Flavel's description of ministry. I think that's why at times people feel like giving up, especially because in the midst of conflict, things seem like they're never going to end. I don't know how many times, and I'm so thankful you care so much about the trial our family's facing right now. And everyone comes up and asks me, how's your father doing? And I just continue to say, well, I don't know. He's just there right now. For him, it feels like it's never going to end. It's only been 6 months. But that's what you feel. It feels, especially at times like this, that God is farther from us through all of this. In fact, it has seemed throughout our whole lives, if we're honest, that God has been absent in many ways. This God has been far. He's had to tell us that's not true, but that's what it feels like. That's what experience seems to be like. So how do you pick up languishing saints? How do you pick up saints who are in the thick of it? How do you help them get out of all of this? How do you lift up their heads? And there's one great way the scriptures do it. This is why I love the book of Revelation, especially as we're going to end on this high note. I can assure you that it is the answer to how you get through all of this. I'm giving you the answer this morning. It's something that Peter continued to say, which 1st and 2nd Peter was really written to Christians who were in persecution times and in hard times and in great conflict and didn't understand all of that. And had to be reminded of heaven and glory and pilgrim life. But he said something in the heart of that book that so captures what John is doing here this morning, where he said, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus. That's what you have to think. That's what you have to live for. Setting your hope on that. God has made us a people of hope. That's what God has done. And that hope drives us forward. That hope moves us forward. So that no matter what we face, and that's how Revelation has motivated life. It's motivated us by looking to the future. So that you see the end. You know what's going to happen. You know how this is going to go. This is one of the great blessings the Lord gave you, that he has told his friends what he's doing. The world doesn't understand this. The world doesn't get this. They don't even want this. But you get to hear from your friend the whole story. Well, you don't just see the end. Today, you see the beginning of all things. That's a beautiful way to look at Revelation 21. You don't just see the end. You see the beginning of all things. He shows you what is soon coming. He opens our eyes and he gives us a real insight and perspective into what is soon coming and what we can look forward to. And the effect is that the purpose is to inspire us to be faithful in the present, to have real confidence, real hope, to be driven by love, and not lose heart. That's the goal of this. Don't lose heart. Jesus was saying that. Don't lose heart. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Remember he was saying that? Keep your heart set on things above where Christ is. All over the scriptures. So this morning, we begin our consideration of the glorious Revelation chapter 21. And what we have before us is a look into the new world, God providing us a perspective of certainty and a promise of certainty of what is going to come to pass. And then he gives you an encouragement in the end to seek it. That's how we'll look at this morning. At this point, we have really been through the thick of Revelation. We've studied the conflict. The Lord has, in the last chapter, entered into judgment. We studied the great white throne judgment. And here we are now, as we look into chapter 21, all that is past. All that's past. So then we pick up in verse 1 of Revelation 21, and this is what we hear. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. As Revelation is beginning to work toward a close, it describes for us the new heavens and the new earth with the original creation themes that we know. This is what you're going to see, is that really the end of this book has a larger goal too, of connecting Genesis and Revelation and the whole story to bring it to consummation. The contrast that he is making here is that everything we have experienced in the first creation that went wrong because of sin, because of the fall, because of Satan, represented by the language of the sea, is all over. It's done. And the Lord is pictured here as bringing in an entire new heaven and new earth where righteousness shall dwell. There is no more darkness. There is no more chaos. There is no more confusion. There is no more abyss. All these symbols by the sea of what the people understood in the dark realm. Peter tells us that this present heaven and earth will be melted and burnt up with fire, so that the whole thing is renovated and recreated and made brand new. Brand new. John is standing and looking at this. I saw this. I loved it to think about that for a minute. Now, I saw this. As much as he is able, he's describing it for us. He's describing what it's going to be like there for us. Here's what I want you to think about for a minute before we look at that, and the glory of this is that we don't even realize in the course of life as we're going through it, and maybe you do to some degree, but not as much as we just get up and we go through our life and we're moving and we're living and we're working and we're doing all these things. We don't even realize the stress and the pressure that we are facing to the degree that we face it living under the sun because of sin. And that's why hedonism reigns. We're all on this quest to find happiness in the midst of all this. We're all on this quest to overcome and find, as we considered on Thanksgiving Day, satisfaction. But we've never really been able to do it, have we? No matter how good of a life you have, we're all living in a valley, as we sang out in Psalm 23, of the shadow of death. Think of the spiritual conflicts. Think of the real spiritual conflicts. We even considered it last week, how Satan tempts and what Satan does. Remember with Ananias and Sapphira. Think of the battle we've been in just to hold on to the truth all these years. Think of how that's wore you down. Think of all the conflict. We're hit on every side. You lock your doors at night. You just don't even think about that. You just, it's a natural way of life here. You lock your doors. We're constantly exposed to theft and robbery. We carry around bodies that are always and always under this sentence of death, you understand. You all are living with, I don't care your age, you're all living with the reality that any moment you could not feel well and be told you have cancer and have 3 months. Or you could go out in a car accident and die. You're living with that. All of you. We have known nothing but conflict. What's been easy about it? Using the words of Paul, often confused, often perplexed, often afflicted in every way, struck down at times, persecuted, subject to all these things, body problems. I have, to be a little open about my own family, I have an aunt. She died a few years ago, and we believe she was a believer. She was schizophrenic. And I just remember every Thanksgiving, the episodes. I remember how hard it was. I remember it broke my grandmother's heart, a believer. Schizophrenic. She was taught the gospel. She believed it. But I saw what it did to her mind, sin. She died in a hospital years ago. It was sad. Hard to see. Hard for the family to go through. Nobody wants to talk about that. Aunt Martha. Didn't take the status away from her being a child of God, but all of us subject to the same stuff. All of us subject to this. Pain. What has fear done to you? Anxiety. We live in a violent world. Truth be told, our sins would have destroyed us a long time ago. We have seen sin destroy people, loved ones. No matter how much we've tried to live in denial of it, and all of us create the picture-perfect life, and by the way, we're good at that. We're all dying. And 100% of all people who've ever lived except Enoch and Elijah have died. And so will you. You never know when. You never know when. That should create some amount of humility, shouldn't it? What is certain in this life? Well, the world will tell you death and taxes. Right? Now, I'm not giving you a pessimistic outlook, am I? A little bit, you're saying, come on, Pastor. I got to do this to get to the good, don't I? It is remarkable because God, in all of this mess, has given you quite a bit of happiness, hasn't he? It's really remarkable in all this mess how God has blessed us along the way and how God has turned our frowns to smiles often and how God has given us light in all of this so that we can live and still enjoy happiness in this life because of the gospel. But you see, in light of all that struggle, now you can hear this. You should be able to. We've been through it in Revelation. We've looked at what the attacks are. We've looked at what we're up against. We've looked at the beast, the false prophet, the dragon. We've looked at the struggle. We've looked at Babylon's lure. We've looked at the cup that's been held out to us. And now you can hear this, you see. And I saw a new heavens and a new earth. I saw it. You know what he notices? Everything that is sinful and corrupt is gone. What father here this morning? What father has not desperately in this life wanted to take away all the tears and pain of their children? If you could, wouldn't you love to just take your finger and be able, with the tears that you see, wipe them away, meaning wipe away the sorrow? Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you do it? You could. You have seen that and lived that. You would take it away in a moment. He can and he will. Did you hear me? He can and he will. John says it. And I saw him and he wiped away every tear from his children's eyes. There was no more death. There was no more mourning. There was no more crying. No more pain. All the former things were done. Done. How do you describe this? You know, I was thinking this week, how do you preach such a glorious passage? Everything that is terrible is done. The sinful nature is gone. Now, I think you have to understand that this is everything we've been trying to overcome in this life. This is everything we've been trying to do ourselves in this life, and that has caused some of the greatest stress and anxiety. Overcome misery. Overcome the hardship. Everything that sin has brought on us, and we live to fill our lives to make ourselves happy, and we really just don't achieve it, do we? And we in America have everything. We have every kind of, and there's been no other culture and no other nation to this day who has the amount of medications that we can take. And that's a blessing in many ways, isn't it? The world has tried to overcome their own sense of alienation from God from the beginning. This is the quest of the world. This has been the quest they are on. It all rings back of Genesis, what's being described here. I want you to think about this from the beginning, that from the beginning, when Adam was barred from the presence of God, remember that Adam had sinned and God booted him. God kicked him out of the garden. And I want you to listen to the language of that for a minute. That therefore, the Lord God said and sent him out from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. Remember, cursed is the ground for your sake. He drove out the man. And at the east of the Garden of Eden, he placed the cherubim and a flaming sword that turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. Now keep in mind, next chapter, you're going to have the tree of life described and you're getting access to it again. So all these themes are back. People from that moment in Genesis were pictured as wanderers in the earth, trying to find a way through all this, trying to figure this out. How many people are trying to figure this out? All of it culminated just before the promise made to Abram in Genesis chapter 12. All of it culminated, to tell you this struggle, in one major event in Genesis. And you remember what it was, boys and girls? The Tower of Babel. Remember what they said? This is misery. We need to come together. We're going to have a collected effort. And we're going to build a tower that takes us back to God. Enough of this. Enough of this. We will make our way back. We will deal with this misery. We're going to make a name for ourselves doing it. We're going to get to the tree of life ourselves. We will get there. And remember what God did. God judged them and God scattered them all over the face of the earth. That's the story of humanity. This is the story of our struggle because of sin. The heart of this passage is, and I believe what's central here, is that what God raises in the middle of it to remind us of what is driving this whole thing. He made a promise to Abraham, remember? I will be your God and you will be my people. And thus it shows up here. It shows up in this passage, doesn't it? In the heart of this passage. I will be your God and you will be my people. God said by way of promise, I'm going to solve your alienation. I'm going to solve the separation. I'm going to deal with it. Then the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated and chose Sodom, remember, lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward and southward, eastward and westward. For all the land that you see, I will give to you and your offspring forever. New earth is what Abraham's hearing. I will make your offspring as the dust of the earth, so that if one can count the dust of the earth, your offspring also can be counted. Arise, walk through the length and the breadth of the land, for I give it to you. So Abraham moved his tent, and he came and settled by the oaks of Mamre, which were at Hebron, and there he built an altar to the Lord. Now, the marvel of all that is when you come to the book of Hebrews, it says that he didn't.
That's all the time we have for you today. We thank you for listening to us here on Abounding Grace Radio. We hope you'll join us again next time for part 2 of this message from Pastor Chris. Until then, God bless.